A long time ago, when I was a freshman in college, I was in the orientation, kind of get us oriented into college life and all that. And Dr. Mason was the academic dean at that time, and he reminded us of something, and I thought it was a great thing. I've remembered it ever since. And pointed us to Proverbs 18 and verse 24, and I've adopted his translation, though I have found no other translation like it, but I think he's right in this way. It says, "He who would have friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." And I thought, man, that's it. Jesus is the friend that sticks closer than a brother, but that, don't miss the first part. He who would have friends must show himself friendly. So that helped me. Now I see it in this passage right here, that a friend of Jesus, of all things, he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is that friend. So friends with Jesus is in verses 12 to 17. A point is friendship has a sine qua non. Sine qua non. It's a Latin. So it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, two reasons I've chosen sine qua non. First one is, I needed an S for all these points. It begins with S. But that's not the only one. The second one is that I wanted to emphasize the fact of this. Emphasize that loving one another, loving each other, loving every other believer is the basic ingredient to having Jesus as your friend. Wow. You mean to tell me Jesus will not be my friend, I cannot be his friend, unless I have friendship to all the brothers and sisters? That's what it says. Everyone. The basic ingredient to friendship with Jesus is loving the brothers. And I thought as I did this, a song that I've heard often, if you don't love your brother, then you don't love God. I think they said neighbor, but brother fits. Yeah. You don't love your brother, you don't love God, and you're not a friend of Jesus Christ, unless you love each and every other believer. That's a sobering fact. My, I don't want to hate any brothers. I don't want to not love any brothers or sisters, because I want Jesus as my friend. Now, some might say, yeah, but you don't know what he or she did or did not do to me. I don't see that in here anywhere. Don't hate your brother unless he deserves it, and then you go get him. No, that's not in here. No. No, it's, or maybe what he said, he or she may say to me. No. You don't know how he or she acted toward me. That's not in here either. Love your brother. Okay, you say, well, okay, you convinced me. I will love most of the brothers. No. Not one can be left out. Not one. Loving the brother. That's what he says. Well, no, I think that misses the point. The point is that loving the brother as I have loved you. Wasn't that part of that last verse? Yeah. As I have loved you, the way he loved us. Well, so the sine qua non. Now, the friendship was shown. There's my S. Shown. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. The ultimate demonstration of love is sacrificial love. The ultimate sacrifice, laying down your life if necessary for him or her. There's no greater expression of love. Paul put it this way in Romans. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but perhaps for a good man some might dare to die. But God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us that much. So, friendship was shown in Jesus Christ. He says, this is the way you do it. And then, the friendship was spoken, verses 14 and 15. The condition for friendship with Jesus, verse 14 says, you are my friends if you do whatever I've commanded you. I wonder what that is. Well, I mean, here in this context, it's if you love one another, verse 12. So that's the condition for friendship with Jesus, loving one another. The concept of friendship with Jesus is in verse 15. It's the concept of being a servant slave. He uses that. He says this way, 15a. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. He doesn't know the master's plans. He obeys the master. Why do you think he obeys the master then, if he doesn't know what the master is doing? Because I said so. You ever use that? Ever use that with your children? Huh? Why do I have to do that? Because I said so. That's the way somebody who's in absolute servitude has to do it. Okay, I'll do it. But he obeys the master because the master told him to do it. That's the concept of a servant. But now the concept of a friend. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. Well, the plans are out there. What Jesus Christ wants us to do is serve him, because what is going on here is working toward a big plan. What do you suppose that is? Oh, from over here, way back, men died. Man died in Adam because Adam sinned. And the whole thing toward this now is God had a plan for Adam and Eve and for their race. They fell because he wouldn't accept obedience because you had to. God didn't say, because I said so. No. Do it because you love me. And so he has a plan all the way through. Plan. The cross is the pivotal point of that plan. He died in our place so that we could be saved. But that's not the end. There's more. After all this church thing is done, and he has a church that has carried the message to the world so the world could believe and be saved, after that comes a bringing back to Israel and going to be tribulation, and then they're going to come out on the other end, and Jesus is going to reign for 1,000 years, and then not all done yet. Then there's a problem. Satan is released, and Satan leads a rebellion. And then when you get to the end of that, then we come to the final thing. Jesus Christ is reigning over all the world. That's what it's all about. That's the plan. And every little piece that comes in there through your life, through my life, through this church's life, through the world, every piece is a part of that puzzle. And we look forward to that end. But we know that in the meantime, we're doing this. what's our main thing? Our main thing is to show off Jesus Christ, to work as friends with Jesus. And so, he's saying that he's given us the plan. We'll see that more a little later. I remember back on the farm, my father had that down pretty well, because I said so. Make sure you pick those tomatoes before I get back tonight, because he worked on the railroad and preached on Sundays, but he had a farm. And then one day he said, he called us together, four of us, four boys, and he said, I'm going to give you a part of, and he didn't say it quite this way, but it's what it was, I'm going to give you an allowance. Every week I'll give you an allowance. And that way you'll be a part of the farm, if it's yours. And then sometimes he would sit down and say, now we're going to put tomatoes over here, we'll put peppers over here, we'll put corn over there, land a plan. So when you were doing that, you say, oh yeah, we're going to get these tomatoes, we're going to take them over and get 13 cents a bushel for them, that kind of thing. But at the end of the week, he would come and he would say, okay, here you are. You'd laugh if I told you how much. Okay, I'll tell you, 15 cents. And the first 15 cents I got, he said, now you ought to buy an undershirt with that. What? Anyway, but that what I'm telling you is, we work because, more I think, better, because he was sharing it with us. He shared his vision, and he shared the money. Well, all that is to say that you do better when you know what you're working for. So we have the friendship of Jesus, as Sequanon, friendship is shown, the friendship is spoken. Now, the friendship was set, verse 16. You did not choose me, I chose you, and appointed you that you should bring forth fruit. You should go and bring forth fruit. Now, he's not speaking here about justification. He's not speaking here about your salvation. He's speaking about service. I chose you. In that day, if someone wanted a rabbi where he could follow and listen to and serve, he would choose one. I think I'll take that one. He would go over there. He'd be a part of that. But Jesus didn't do it that way. Jesus said, I will choose. And so he did. And we see all through the early parts of this gospel that he picked them out. He said, follow me. They followed him. So he had the plan, and he laid it out. But he also had a purpose, 16b, that your fruit should remain. See, the purpose was not some temporary thing. It was a permanent remaining fruit. Now, this fruit it includes justification. It includes witnessing to people on the back wall. But it also has teaching, baptizing. All of that is a part of the making disciples. We are to make disciples. It explains that we are to be a part of the whole thing. Do all that Jesus said. It's wonderful. Oh, we had 10 people saved. Well, that's wonderful. How many were discipled? We need to do that because he's telling us what the plan is. Now, then he goes on, because then they get fruit. We have fruit to them. They are fruit, and they get more fruit, and they get much fruit. We talked about that last Sunday. So that's the purpose. Now there's a plea, verse 16c. He says that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. We can plead to him. In the process of serving with your friend Jesus, then you could ask him anything, and he'll give it to you. And then you can continue the work. What do you mean, anything? We talked about that last week. He talked about it here again. That we ask anything because we are in the plan, because we know the plan, because we are serving him. When we ask, we are going to be asking for things for the plan, for the service. And then you can be assured that if you, whatever you need to do the work of the Lord, when you ask for it, you're going to get it. Okay? So, whatever you ask, you're going to receive it. Sine qua non, the shown is spoken, it is set, but it's also seconded. Verse 17, friendship was seconded. These things I command you, that you love one another. What? I believe he said that somewhere before. Yes, he did, in verse 12. It's a repetition, a seconding of what he just said. So in verse 12 he says, these things I command you, that you love one another. And then he says it again in verse 17. Question. How many times does Jesus have to say something before it's true? I think one would do it. Yeah. In fact, before he ever said it was true, we just hadn't heard it before. Yeah. He says, love one another. Then he says a second time, love one another. Why did he say it the second time? To emphasize it. I'm talking about loving one another. Do you get the point? That's what he's saying. So, he's talking about friends with Jesus. We'll be a friend with Jesus if we love one another. And not just one, all others, everybody. And you can hinder your own personal walk with the Lord. You can hinder the work of the church. You can hinder if you don't love one another. We must love one another. Now, so then we have now, he's saying to them, once you do this, then you are going to have foes. The foes of Jesus. Hatred for Jesus' friends. 18 to 22. Now the reason for the hate is intolerance. 18 to 20. They are different. The reason they hate them is because they're different. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, then the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So, love one another, but don't get the idea that the world's going to love you. No, no, the world's going to hate you. And it's, if we all are loving one another, when the world hates us, we have each other. Right? So, the word world here is the word from the Greek word cosmos. In context here, it's any world system that leaves out God. If you leave God out, then you have a cosmos that hates you. It's a disorderly system. If you don't have God in a system, it's disorderly. It's chaos. Did you ever hear the word cosmetics? I know you have. You know what cosmetics is for? To bring order out of chaos. Don't worry about that order out there that's in chaos. Treat our own order, Jesus. So Jesus' friends are different from them. Different in doctrine, different in lifestyle, different in outlook on life. All of that, it's all difference. And so that's why the world hates them. Jesus said, no marvel, they hated me first. Don't think you're the only one. They hated me first. They'll hate you because you are a friend of mine. If you were of the world, he said, the world would love you. I know. Let's look like the world. Let's act like the world. Let's do things of the world. We'll fill this place up. We'll fill a lot of places up. No, can't do that. If we did that, we'd lose it. We'd lose our distinctiveness. We'd lose our message. Can't do that. So we keep on being different. And not different for different sake. You know, not I'm different just because I want to be different. So we'll wear, everybody has to wear a hat. Everybody has to wear different clothes. I lived in this. From my early days, my father was a pastor. And the men, the pastor's convention, they would get together, they would decide how we're going to do. The pastors all wore suits like everybody else. But my mother had to wear her sleeves down like that. Don't show your arm. And women were, they couldn't wear any makeup. No jewelry. He was part of my first wedding. And, but he wouldn't pronounce us man and wife because we were given rings. That's the kind of difference I'm talking about. That kind of difference is not what Jesus is talking about. We're different, but we're different in our doctrine, in our lives, in our outlook. That's it. So the world system hates us, not only because we're different, but because we're disciples. Disciples of Jesus. You know, you can be disciples of anything else. These days even, now, you can name, as you say, Allah, oh, there's no problem with that. Jesus, oh, I said Jesus. Yeah. That's what's happening here, right in the good old United States, the Christian nation that we were. Now, but these disciples could not and would not and should not change the message. It's their big difference. And your big difference makes a difference. And it's the only way to make a difference. So remember, the word that I said to you, he says, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, then they will keep your word. And that kind of threw me a little bit. They persecute you, they persecuted him, they'll persecute you. But if they kept my word, then they'll keep your word. I said, wow. What he's saying is that there is a positive side to this message you're taking out. Some people did accept Jesus, remember? The reason they accepted Jesus was because they saw the Father in him. And the Father's word in the Old Testament said that he would come, the Messiah is going to come, and he's going to do certain works. And these works of Messiah are seen in Matthew 11. Let me just say a few of them. And I copied it out. And John the Baptist heard in prison, this is Matthew 11, he heard in prison about the works of Jesus, and he sent two of his disciples, because he's in prison, remember? They put him in prison for his ministry. So he sent his disciples over and said, are you the one who's coming, or do we look for another? I don't see any kingdom here. So Jesus answered and said to them, go tell John the things that you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. That's it. In the Old Testament, there was prophecy after prophecy of this Messiah. And these people, some people will see it. They did in his day. And he says they will, the words and the works convince them, and they will convince the people that you minister to. There will be some good thing, the positive thing. But then there's also the negative thing. Others rejected him. And the ones who rejected him heard the same words, they saw the same works, but the hearing and the seeing was not mixed with faith. So they hated him. So that was intolerance. They were intolerant of them. But they were also ignorant, verse 21. And all these things they do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. They don't know. They're ignorant. And the results of the hatred is going to be in verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Did that throw you a little bit? If you're thinking it does. Yeah. If I hadn't come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. He's not talking about any sin. He's talking about no sin, this sin. They now have sin because he came and brought to them. They had sinned before, but not that sin. It's a particular sin. And that particular sin is rejecting the Messiah when he comes and does all of these things. So it's the sin of rejecting the Father's messenger and the message through the Son. So they hated him for his friends. They hated his friends. And then the hatred for his father says, verse 23 and 24, says, this hatred had a focus. 23 says this, he who hates me hates my father also, for I had done nothing among them, if I had done nothing among them, the works which no one else did, then they would have no sin, but now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. So they hated Jesus, the Son, and they hated the Father, and its focus was against the very God whom these leaders claimed to serve. And they were claiming to represent the same God to the world. Same one. See, we're not talking about people, sinners out there, or people who didn't know God. These people knew God. They had the scriptures. And they were the leaders in the temple. They had it all. And they say, no, we reject him. Okay, you reject him, guess what? He'll reject you. They're God's chosen people, but then he removed them. He removed them from the place of favor, from the place of service, representing him to the world. Moved them only temporarily until the rapture. See, God's not finished with Israel. If you want to know that, read Romans. Are you listening? Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. Romans 9 talks about Israel's past. 10 talks about Israel's present. 11 talks about Israel's future. That's your assignment for this afternoon. Don't forget. He is not done with Israel, but they were done with him, and that's why the 70 AD, the place was wiped out. He's coming back to them, but for now, they're on a sidetrack. And the hatred was foretold, verse 25. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. Now it says in their law, but it's all three places it occurs is in the Psalms. But the word law is not just for the first five books. It's for, sometimes used for the whole Old Testament, and that's what he's talking about here. And they accused me without a cause, hated me without a cause. And the three places are in Psalm 35, 69, and 109. And guess who's saying it? David. David is saying, they hated me without a cause. And David is picturing Jesus being hated without a cause. So, what am I saying? First of all, I'm saying this. Being a friend of Jesus is the most important thing you can have. Most important. A friend of Jesus, oh, what bliss that one so vile as I should ever have a friend like this to lead me to the sky. Friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what blessed sweet communion. Jesus is a friend of mine. That we need to see, that he is our friend. So, question. Is Jesus your friend? Of course, you have to believe on him. That's eternal life. But then, I have to ask the question, do I love my brother? Do I love my sister? Do I hold any kind of non-love? I don't say hate because hate's too extreme. Any non-love before any brother or sister? then I need to love them. I need to love them. And I need to show it. Oh yeah, I love him. I'm over here. I'm saying, yeah, I love him. I love him. No, you don't. Tell him you love him. Show him you love him. Show her you love her. That's it. If you're not a friend of them, you're not a friend of Jesus. God help us to be friends of Jesus.